This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I think a timely podcast because, well, there's a season change. And when there's a season change, and this invariably happens to me, is that, I don't know, I'm a California boy, and I'm used to pretty much uniform weather, but there are seasons here in the Northeast where I now live, and invariably, my body is challenged. It's an adjustment that happens. And, you know, sometimes I come down with the cold. Usually I'm able to avert it, but it's kind of a, I don't know, it's an anxiety producing time of year for me and for many of you out there. And especially if you have kids, kids come home from school after a new school year. With us today, one of our perennial experts, really, he's one of our favorite guests. Always sheds a useful perspective on whatever we're talking about. He's James Laval. James is trained as a pharmacist, but he's also a certified nutritionist, and he's author of 17 ebooks and 20 books, including the most recently released, Your Blood Never Lies. We've talked about that book with him in a previous interview, as well as his bestseller, Cracking the Metabolic Code. He has extensive experience working with sports teams, athletes, and also was named one of the 50 most influential pharmacists by American Druggist Magazine. He has accolades too many to recount here. So, Jim, let's just get into it because I think many of our listeners are well familiar with you. Okay, so, you know, I framed the issue. It is, quote, flu season. I see the ads for, you know, the flu shot. In the past, I've sort of inveighed against the flu shot. Although, you know, I mean, maybe there's some benefit for some individuals, but I got to say, it, you know, that in itself is not the solution in terms of a comprehensive strategy towards bolstering immunity, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think in general, people go into cold and flu season and they are totally unprepared and they end up quickly succumbing, if not once, twice or three times, to a cold or flu. And it really is about what you do every day that prepares you for cold and flu season, because you got to face it. Once September hits and kids are going back to school and the temperatures are changing and you're not eating the way you should and the holidays hit, it all creates a perfect storm.
Mm-hmm. And so there really is something to this about the cold causing colds or upper respiratory infections, but could it have something to do with vitamin D levels? I mean, as the season changes, I mean, I notice now, I wake up now in the dark, and then as I get home from work, the sun's going down. So, yeah.
Oh, I think vitamin D is really important, and I'll tell you the other one's vitamin A. You know, nobody takes vitamin A anymore. And you got to remember vitamin D, the vitamin D receptor. So how vitamin D works is based on your vitamin A levels in your body. So I'm always instructing people, hey, look, make sure you get your vitamin D level in, especially if you're, you know, if you live in the Midwest, if you're up east and there's not a lot of sun and you're not getting out because it's cold, you got to get that D in. But for some people, that D level doesn't go up in their blood until they get some vitamin A in them to make that vitamin D get absorbed better. So I'm a big advocate of making sure they get that A and D together. And also drink that extra little bit of vitamin C every day too. You know, try to get that extra C in there to fuel your immune system to be ready for the attack.
A nice tall glass of orange juice. Is that the solution?
Well, I'm not a big juice guy. So I try to tell people drink some vitamin C ascorbate.
That was a setup question for you.
I know. The big thing is on that is what we know is that when you take in a big bolus of sugar, and that's what a big glass of orange juice is, it actually compromises your immunity over the next 3 to 4 hours. So the big glass of orange juice followed with the morning muffin probably is getting you right in the middle of that cold bug.
Right. What about, the pace of life seems to accelerate around, mid-September. And, it seems like we're in a big rush that kind of culminates when we all collapse, after the bowl games on, New Year's morning. Could stress or high levels of cortisol be a factor in suppressing our immunity? Not that the summer is always sedate, but by comparison, right. I think the pace of life is more leisurely.
Yeah, I think we just underappreciate the effect of stress in general. And so I think, first of all, people don't get enough sleep. And when you don't get enough sleep, so if you average 5 hours of sleep a night, you're 9 times more likely to get a cold or flu. And that's an amazing statistic. And if you're under 7, you're 5 times more likely to get a cold or flu. And one of the big reasons that people don't get enough sleep is that when you're under chronic stress, your brain takes on all that stress during the day and then can't turn it off at night. And that means your brain is still looking for that white tiger to fight. And then when you add on top of that, it's the holidays and I got holiday parties. And then I've got to worry about, shopping. And then I've got, are we going to have family over? And then the traffic gets more hectic. And everything about that is you heighten your stress. It's very simple. When stress goes up, your ability to fight off an infection goes down. You literally plummet your what's called your T killer cells and your natural killer cells. They go down. And your inflammatory response from your immune system goes up. And so just by default, it's the same thing with, when people have diabetes and their stress levels go up, they're more prone for their blood sugars to go up and they are more prone to get sick more quickly. And so this is a big problem. So yeah, holiday season, lots of stress, not enough sleep, overcommitment. Combine that with not enough sunshine, and it's a perfect recipe to put yourself right in the middle of the bug.
It's a perfect storm. And, you mentioned the role of sugar. There are deleterious factors in our diet, bad quality ingredients, harmful additives that may suppress our immunity. But is there such a thing as an immune supportive diet or conversely, an immune suppressive diet other than the role we mentioned for sugar.
Right. Yeah, I think there's a couple things. One is diets for example, what's real popular right now are, truly ketogenic diets. And a truly ketogenic diet typically will not have enough fiber in it. And you just have to remember, if you're not getting fiber, you are not feeding your microbiome or the beneficial flora in your gut. And what a lot of people don't realize is that, beneficial flora has a huge role to play in how your immunity will do. In fact, they've even shown in studies in humans when they gave people probiotics, they even had this in a geriatric population, when they gave people probiotics, they were much less prone to develop a cold or flu during cold and flu season versus the people that did not get the probiotics. So a diet that is high in refined sugars, high in refined carbs, doesn't have enough fiber, and then is high in especially saturated fat will end up triggering more what's known as circulating endotoxin. Now, that's a big word, but what that means is your beneficial flora is dying off, it's breaking apart, and the little fragments, protein fragments from that flora that died off actually becomes something that starts to trigger your body to have an immune response. So that's the type of diet you want to avoid. You want to get lots of vegetables, keep yourself alkalinized, lean proteins, get some legumes in, make sure you get the fiber in, watch over consumption of the sugars, watch over consumption of mineral robbing drinks like sodas, people drink a lot of sodas, but not just those. juices are huge now, right? And people are buying all these green drinks, and they don't realize 80% of that drink is fruit juice. It's just colored green. You know, there's a little bit of green, but it's mainly juice. And those are the things that are going to be, those are the no's. And then the yeses, look, the yeses that keep you away from colds and flu are also the yeses that keep your body lean and limit gaining weight and helping you to maintain your metabolism. So it's kind of a good double benefit if you can get yourself in that habit.
Indeed. Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and let's allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you. Here it goes. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density to ensure your future bone health. It's Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone helps inhibit bone resorption and promotes new bone formation. The Osteothera plus Ipraflavone formulation is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. I believe in Osteothera plus Ipraflavone so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, and I recommend it to my patients. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Jim LaValle. You actually, you know, we did a little chat before, where, you know, while we were setting up our interview. You mentioned a little project that you're involved in that is specifically targeting the microbiome and how we, through the use of medications, I mean, since you're a pharmacist, I think this is right up your alley, how the microbiome is damaged by the influence of certain medications.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I gave a presentation to a group of healthcare providers about a month ago, and they asked me if I had anything on the microbiome that was new. This was about 6 months ago. And I started looking into it a little bit, and I really uncovered what I thought. I thought it was shocking anyway. I mean, you know, you're on top of things as much as anybody I know. It's why I love coming on your show. But I did not realize until I started digging all this research up, and now I'm cataloging it, and I'm going to database it just like I did drug-induced nutrient depletion and just like I did with our drug interaction databases. Drug-induced microbiome disruption, so common drugs that people take every day that are being prescribed that is altering their microbiome. They're losing their diversity. They're killing off the beneficial flora. Now, the obvious ones are things like proton pump inhibitors or acid blocking medication, mm-hmm. Right? Just, sure. Just realize if you change the pH of your intestine, your bugs, different bugs are going to grow than should grow. And the bugs that should be there are going to die. And that affects your microbiome. Common anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen, when taken on a regular basis, actually alter your microbiome. But here's an interesting one. I thought it was interesting. I think it's a good drug as drugs go. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of a lot of drug therapy, and sometimes it's necessary. Metformin, yep. Which is a super popular drug for managing insulin resistance, and it's a good drug.
Yeah, but helps weight and may be anti-aging, anti-cancer. You know, we certainly have some of our cancer patients taking it.
Exactly, right? A really good, I think, modern drug therapy. But it totally changes the diversity of the microbiome, yep. Mm-hmm. Reduces the diversity of the microbiome, and reduces the bacterioidity species, which is, you know, the species in your gut that's really promoting your health in general. And so I think for a lot of people, when you're on oral contraceptives or mm-hmm. corticosteroids or on NSAIDs or on medications for your blood sugar, you may not be thinking about how's this affecting, because you got to remember, once you affect your microbiome, you're affecting metabolism of hormones, how effective you are at maybe managing your appetite, how you're utilizing your nutrients. So things that you're taking that you're trying to get your body to utilize can be compromised by it. So this whole area of drug-induced microbiome depletion or disruption I think is it's the next big trend. Now, I'm not saying this just because everybody's jumping on the microbiome bandwagon. I still believe it's one component of your health, just like stress is, just like diet is, just like environmental burden is. All of these different things make up this mosaic of how we get through our life and either maintain our health or we succumb to illness. But I think it's an important one because so many people are either on antibiotics. And look, proton pump inhibitors are the second most prescribed drug now. Yep. Everybody's got digestive distress because there's this really important thing people have forgot how to do, chew their food. And then the next one is, you know, they don't pick the right foods. And so I think it's a really important part considering we just take a lot of medications in this country.
Well, Jim, let's provide people with some specific tips for enhancing immunity, and people are very focused on supplements. So we talked about some of the lifestyle factors. Maybe we can circle back and talk a little bit about exercise, which in some ways is a two-way street because too much of a good thing can actually suppress your immunity. But how about some specific flu-busting tips, things people can sort of gird themselves with this season?
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, we kind of went through diet. So it's try to be consistent. Just don't go to holiday parties and just, you know, eat every cookie and every cupcake on the tray. Try to be consistent about what you're doing with your health. That's number one. Hydrate yourself. That's really important. And yeah, you know what? You probably have to increase your hygiene because people do get cold and flu bugs. They sneeze, they cough, they particleize this stuff. You do want to watch that. And then when it starts to come to supplementation, you know, I think you've got to think about vitamin D right away. You have to think about vitamin C right away. So, you know, 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day is, you know, pretty much a no adverse event limit dosing during cold and flu season. Vitamin D, I try to get people to look, you know, get 5,000 units a day in, but go to your doc, get your labs tested. See if you can get that level up over 55 at least, you know, try to get it up there in at least the mid range. It's really important to
that's
hit 55.
Level.
Yeah, it's the one that most of the data would say that's where you got to get to get the benefits of D. And then if you're talking about a couple of things that you could take preventatively that have done very well, I mentioned probiotics earlier. They're, I think people in particular during cold and flu season, when they are eating more sugar, when they are staying out later, is think about taking, you know, being consistent about probiotics. I think it'll help your general immune system. And it's been shown in humans, not mice. I don't have any mice coming in talking to me about how to prevent their flu bug. So in humans, probiotics do help reduce incidence and severity. And then one of the big ones, which I know is a favorite of yours and mine, is aged garlic extract. They did a really, really good study on college students. Going into the winter quarter, gave them, aged garlic extract. And what they found was, is that when they were on it preventatively, there was a reduced incidence, severity, and duration. If they caught the bug, they would have an improved resiliency to that. So I love.
So Jim, this is not just on garlic. This is on specifically aged garlic extract, or you know what actually Kyolic consists of. Could you explain to our listeners the distinction between garlic and aged garlic extract, please?
Oh, sure. I mean, first of all, garlic's great. People should eat garlic. Garlic is really good. And it has medicinal benefits. However, but it has its limitations. And then when you age garlic, you change the physical properties. And so as it ages, new chemical compounds are generated. So in the aging process, much like when you take, cabbage and make sauerkraut, or even you think of hops going to beer, different nutrients are expressed in the aging process. So what happens with garlic is the more volatile compounds that give you that stinking rose odor that may even act as a pro-oxidant. If you took a lot of it over a long period of time, it could actually damage some cells. So you don't want to take a lot of garlic all the time if it's not aged. Once you age garlic, the new chemicals that come out, there are specific compounds that come out that are actually immune enhancing. So they actually help the immune system. One example would be when you take aged garlic and it gets into your intestine, it stimulates something called gamma delta cells, gamma delta T killer cells. And what those cells do is they get you more ready to fight off a virus. So you're prepping your immune system. So aging garlic, that's the only way to actually get those chemical compounds is by taking an aged garlic extract. And there's no issues with, you know, blood thinning. You don't have to worry about smelling like garlic when you take it.
Right. My history with aged garlic extract is the way I was first introduced to it about 30 years ago. So I thought, this is odorless garlic. And that's how it was marketed. It was like, oh, great. Okay. It's garlic without the bite. So you can take as much of it as you want. You'll get the benefits of garlic. But I don't think in those days it was so emphasized that it actually contained unique compounds, that it wasn't just the odorless aspect, you know, like, smell-free garlic.
Well, you know what? You're exactly right. Cause you know what? Back when I was writing my databases, the first time, when I was initially referring to garlic and writing my monographs on garlic, and we talked about odorless garlic. I remember when the folks from Wakanaga who did all that science behind it, they dropped off literally 500 papers and supportive literature at my doorstep because they're writing databases for Lexicomp, which was going into universities, hospitals, medical schools. They schooled me on, look, there is a huge difference when you age it in terms of the physical properties of the garlic. It changes the chemical composition. The other thing that it does, which is very interesting, is it helps support glutathione function. And so it's storing a lot of sulfur to your body, which is also very supportive for your immune system and your detoxification capacity. So it's really an interesting compound and quite unique. And there's not a lot of natural products that have that much science behind it, that many studies, that many publications, which is now well over, approaching 800 scientific publications and journal references and sightings.
So when you take garlic, and I take actually the formula that I take from Wakanaga is the formula 100 or the reserve. I think they're equivalent. They're the high dose aged garlic right. extract, pure and simple, no additives. But there are other forms of it, and some are targeted towards blood pressure. Some are targeted towards immunity. The formula 103, I recommend to patients where immunity is an issue. So is there something in addition to the aged garlic extract in there that's sort of the secret sauce?
Well, I think that what they've done is they've done a great job of using aged garlic as the centerpiece. Much like traditional medicine, they have a ingredient, and then they have other ingredients that help bring out the best in aged garlic extract. So if you're looking for the immunity aged garlic extract, it's great because they have things like mushrooms, medicinal mushrooms, which are for the to help the immune system, right? And then if you're looking for blood sugar support, there's agents in there that help with it, but specifically for immunity, for example. You know, there's astragalus, there's olive leaf extract, there's this mushroom blend in it. So you've got supportive nutrients during cold and flu season that you can do it. Now, the way I do it, Dr. Hoffman, is I take the reserve as well. But depending on what I'm trying to work on, whether it's detox or, hey, it's cold and flu season, I'll bolt on some of the for example, formula 103, which is for the immune system. I'll take a little bit less of the reserve, and then I'll add some of that in. So I'm still getting, I like making sure I get a lot of aged garlic in me because I really believe in it, and the amount of studies are incredible. Just sit there and a little bit of the reserve to make sure I get my 1200 milligrams. I'll add the immune during the winter months. And then if I'm going through maybe in the spring, I want to do some spring cleaning, and maybe I'll bolt in some detox during the spring. And I think that way you can get the full benefits of the aged garlic, but then you can get specificity if you'd like to, too.
Great. Okay, Jim, as you know, we divide our podcast into two parts. So what we're going to do is we're going to pause now. We'll continue in our discussion of what we can do to bolster our immune systems this cold and flu season. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, our guest, Jim Laval. He's a pharmacist, an educator, clinical nutritionist. And we'll be right back with more on the subject of cold and flu prevention. This is Intelligent Medicine.